Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. From the banks of the Ohio River, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Aaron Wilson and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome everyone to the award-winning Red Blue Hoops on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call as our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Aaron Wilson. Aaron, welcome to tonight's show.
Thanks, Evan. Thank you for having me back again after last week. It's been a great week for the Hoosiers, and just want to go over what we're going to be discussing tonight. We're going to be discussing the recent games that IU and UK have both played, and then we're going to be doing a overview of the first half of the season for both teams, and then we're going to go over kind of where we're at, both at conference status-wise, and then we're going to have to take some calls again at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. If you'd like, folks, we want to get some interaction with all you fans out there just like us that are fanatical about both teams, Big Blue Nation and Hoosier Nation. So, Evan, do you want to get started on your recent week? I mean, I know it's been a bad one for you, but so I'll let you go first.
Sure, I appreciate that. I want to go ahead and classify myself tonight as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because last week's show, heading into the weekend, we were coming off a three-game stretch that Kentucky had shown vast improvement since losing at Auburn. We'd played really well against Arkansas on the road. Got a good road win there. But anyway, I was feeling a lot better about the position of our team this time last week. So we played at Kansas on Saturday. And as you know, it's one of the most revered places to play college basketball.
No doubt.
At the Fog, the Allen Fieldhouse. And I was concerned about our squad going out there based on our previous road game performances this season. And I thought that if we didn't play well, we could easily get blown out 20-plus. You know, Kansas has been playing pretty well this season. The place was hype.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Time.
They were almost as good as Assembly Hall a few years ago, almost.
The you know, Kansas had a chip on their shoulder, rightfully so, because we clipped them by 32 last year, and they wanted some redemption for that.
Yeah, no
that,
doubt.
That beat down. But I tell you what, I was really impressed with Kentucky's performance. They led at halftime. They scored a lot of points in the first half, surprisingly, against Kansas. You know, in that atmosphere, you know, Kentucky will not face a situation more difficult than that the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And as my older and very wise brother, Lance Beck, who's a college basketball aficionado, he taught me years ago, Evan, you got to remember, you never play a road game in the tournament. So we'll never have a place tougher to play the rest of the year. But Kentucky ended up losing overtime, unfortunately. And I tell you what, we got into a lot of foul trouble. As we went into overtime, we had two starters that had fouled out. We had Briscoe suffering from severe cramps, but our team kept fighting. But I think once we got to overtime, man, we were done.
Yeah.
I think we were I think physically tired. And I think that our team could feel the pressure of losing Derek Willis. You know, he's what we call a stretch four in our offense. And when he fouled out, Kansas basically went to like a box
pack,
and one.
Packed it in, yeah.
They went to a triangle and two on our guards, and we were really struggling in overtime to score points. But even though we lost, I came out of that game feeling really good. You know, Godsey here is our intern again tonight, week number four. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks,
but
yeah.
We were at the same event, and we had all these people walking up to me, saying, hey, Evan, I bet you're feeling terrible. I was like, no, I feel great because – Kentucky competed at the highest level and the toughest place to play. So I saw it as a stepping stone,
yeah,
a positive stepping stone. So came out of the weekend feeling okay, and then, wow, went on the road Tuesday night, and I told my brother that day, I said, you know, the Kansas performance was strong, but we have to validate that tonight at Tennessee. And I was concerned because Tennessee has the same type of makeup on its roster like the Auburn team. There, it's a smaller team. It's perimeter-oriented. And the Tennessee coach, Rick Barnes, formerly of Texas, who I think has been a Division I coach for 29 years, he said this is the shortest team by far he's ever coached. And so I was concerned because it's the same formula that Auburn used against us to be victorious. And I was thinking that we were going to be tired and come out flat coming off the Kansas game. But to my surprise, we come out and run out to a 21-point lead. I mean, we're like rolling.
Yeah.
I was shocked. And then all of a sudden, Alex Porthos picked up his second foul. He goes to the bench. And you'll talk about this game later, but it almost reminded me of the Indiana-Michigan game. It's like a switch went off for Michigan, and they went from a D1 team to like a D2 team. We were the same way. Tennessee scored 71 points the final 25 minutes against Kentucky. And let me tell you something. I promise you, there's no one that's more upset about that than John Calipari. I mean, there's some Kentucky fans yelling about it, screaming about it, but he loves defense. Our team has dipped down to being ranked 52nd in the country defensively. He's a perennial top 20 defensive coach, and that's what cost us the Tennessee game. And I'm going to put it on the shoulders of Jamal Murray. I mean, Jamal Murray's a scorer. He's a fantastic freshman, but right now he is not fulfilling his defensive responsibilities playing for UK, and he's getting beat on perimeter assignments that are getting our bigs in foul trouble. So we got to get better in that area. So, Aaron, the bottom line is we've lost two in a row, two road games, and we've got to shake those off and come into this weekend against Florida and get back to the winner's column.
Yeah. I would say, you guys, I would agree at KU that was probably the second hardest place you guys have played in the last 4 years. The first would be Assembly Hall, but that was definitely the second hardest. And I watched the game. I thought that it reminded me a lot of our game against Wisconsin last week, where you guys got into the second half and it seemed like every crucial call. And granted, you expect that going into a place like Cole Center and Allen Fieldhouse.
Sure.
I mean, you got to expect that going in there. People expect the same thing when they go in the Rupp or they go into Assembly Hall, I believe. But you guys played. I thought you guys played a great game. Gave KU everything that they could handle and then some. But then, man, you guys laid a huge egg against Tennessee.
We were up 21.
Yeah.
21 points and we lose.
Well, just going back to your stats that you gave last week about, you know, who holds the statistical records or who is statistically the best on each team, and it's usually the upperclassmen, right? So you guys don't have a ton of upperclassmen.
No question.
You guys remind me a lot of us last year. I mean, honestly, I really do. I feel like you guys are a lot like we were last year. You have some Tyler Ulis behind Yogi. I would take him over any other guard in the country. I mean, he is fantastic.
Yeah, he's good.
If he was about 2 inches taller, he would already been gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he is that good. Same with Yogi. He would have already been gone also. But IU had two games this week. And just getting back to IU real quick. We played Minnesota, who is a desperate, desperate team, much like Tennessee probably was when they played you. They're very desperate, hungry, wanting a signature win to try to
Have they won a conference game?
No, they have not.
Ooh.
And I don't doubt that they will, though, because I do think Minnesota's a good team. I just think that they, for whatever reason, the very start of the Big Ten, they've just been very bad. And they're very lengthy. They got a lot of spunk, but they're young. And I think they're going to pull off an upset one of these weeks. We'll be talking about Minnesota again. We played Minnesota again. A great coaching by Tom Crean in the very end of that game. He went into a zone offense, which a lot of IU fans, big Bobby Knight fans, hate. When he does that, but Minnesota was killing us with drives in the middle, and he went to zone and clogged up the middle, and they don't have any shooters. So I thought that was a great move by him at the end of the game there. He went away from it and went back to man, because we have done such a great job playing man since James Blackman Jr. has been gone, mostly because we're so lengthy now. I mean, OG Anunoby is 6'8" and has a 7-foot wingspan. So, I mean, you replace a 6'4" player with a 6'8" player, with a 7-foot wingspan, you're going to get in a lot more passing lanes. And that's been a huge difference for us. So I'm going to give you a stat line for just for the Minnesota game. OG Anunoby, three-star recruit. This would be the third, in my opinion. I'm going to go big here.
All right.
Third lottery pick, three-star lottery pick that Tom Crean is going to have coached. And if that doesn't tell you that he's a good coach and a good preparer of kids for the next level, I don't know what would. But he had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, and 3 blocks, and 1 foul. He had a couple of turnovers. He's a freshman. But I believe he only played 14 minutes.
That's good stats for 14 minutes.
I mean,
that's
unbelievable. Good production. Unbelievable. And then we'll go to the Michigan game after this, but just wanted to give you that stat line. Minnesota, like I said, they're very hungry. They gave us everything we could handle. Richard Pitino, you could tell, really
Little
wanted
Ricky.
He wanted that game. You know what's funny to me is that Richard's dad Rick. Has showed up at Minnesota the last three seasons that we've played at Minnesota. He's there. He never comes to any other games.
Uh-oh.
And it's kind of funny to me that he comes to the IU game every time.
It's almost like
he's there to give the officials the eye, like, hey, you better give my boy the calls. And it's also funny that he stole Kenny Johnson from us.
Yeah, the recruiter.
He's a great recruiter. He brought in Victor Oladipo. He brought in some of the better players from Maryland for us. And then Pitino got him and gave him a great big salary to come to Louisville. But anyway, getting back to our games this week, we went into Michigan night before last, and man, oh man! So I'm gonna apologize to all IU fans out there because I was late to watch the game. I had to take my son to wrestling practice.
That's understandable.
And
been a good dad,
then I had to go sign him up for baseball for this summer. And I got home late, and we were down when I got home. I turned it on. Boom, 25-0 run. I mean, so
I watched that run.
All the IU fans out there, I apologize. We could have gone on the 25-0 run way earlier, but I wasn't home yet. And I'm telling you what, if nothing validates us this year, they're a top 30 team, RPI wise. Michigan,
yeah,
and Ann Arbor, and we just dominated them. I mean, absolutely
that
dominated
stretch,
them.
You guys killed them.
I mean, the whole second half, we dominated them. They never, while we had our starters in, they never got within 20. And
what was the final score?
We only ended up beating them by 13. But okay. we had our scrubs in for like the last 3 minutes of the game,
gotcha.
2-3 minutes of the game. So, and they still had.
Let's call them bench players. Scrubs is a little bit kind of.
Well, okay, I probably shouldn't call them scrubs.
They're playing hard.
And that's right. Yeah, that's right. And they're not all scrubs. I think we did still have Juwan Morgan in, and he's going to be a great player for us. But he's just a freshman.
Sure.
So anyway, that's our two games this week. I'm
after Kentucky's debacle at Tennessee, I had to go out and air out a little bit. So I took my dog for a walk. When I left, Michigan was up 10-2. I got back. Michigan was 24-20. I watched Michigan play one defensive possession. They look engaged. And then, seriously, it's like a spaceship came to the – is it Breslin Center?
Yes.
And it's like someone turned them off. They were just standing – I mean, you guys were running all around them.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with our ability to space teams. I mean,
I know you're going to say it's all that, but I was talking to one of your fellow IU fans this week, Zach Martin, and he brought up the fact that you've had the Michigan team do that. You had Illinois do that, and Northwestern. You guys had massive runs, and these teams just like went, I give up. You know, they were done. It's impressive, but
– And that has a lot to do with our shooting ability.
You guys are good shooters. I would give your assistant coach in charge of shooting instruction a raise.
No, that's Tom Crean. That's Tom Crean.
He's
a great –
No, it is not Tom Crean.
Oh, that is absolutely –
Hey, we have our first caller. We have Geraldine the Cat. Geraldine, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops.
Thanks. It's good to be back. Sorry I had to miss last week.
We missed you.
I miss being here, and welcome to you, Aaron. I haven't had an opportunity to speak with you yet. So.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that I think I talked to you last year, actually, when I subbed for Ben that one night.
Yeah, you may have. Absolutely, yeah. So, but glad to have you here permanently, and you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Well, anyway, Evan, I'm sure this last week's been hard on you.
Well, you know what? Once again, Saturday, it was a high for me, and Tuesday night was a – it's a peaks and valleys. Tuesday night was a valley.
Yeah, yeah. I was at a function last night, and there was a young woman and her dad both wearing Tennessee orange, very proudly. Yeah, that was a little hard to stomach, but they earned it, you know?
We played poorly, and they played well.
Absolutely, where it was pride. But you may have already talked about this young man because I tuned in a little bit late, and you were talking about a particular player, and I didn't get to hear the name.
Jamal Murray.
No, the one I want to talk about is Isaiah Briscoe. I'm not sure if I got the name right.
That's it. That's his name.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's the one I want to reference, though. But the young man I'm referencing seems to have a little bit of free throw trouble.
That's Isaiah Briscoe. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And I was just a little curious about what you think about him as a recruit. First of all, what do you think Coach Cal saw in him to recruit him? Obviously, he's very athletic. But, you know, you got to do a little more than just get the ball down the court. And what you think his prospects are for the year, because we're kind of getting into the season now. And you know, you would hope you'd see a little bit better shooting capacity from, from somebody obviously that talented as an athlete.
No, it's a great question, and it's a point of concern because late in the second half against Kansas, Briscoe was the best driver of the basketball to the rim on Kentucky's team this year. And he's able to draw fouls, but he can't convert at the free throw line. It's almost like a turnover. But what Calipari saw in Briscoe, he was ranked either the first or second highest ranked point guard in the nation coming out of high school. And he was McDonald's All-American, Jordan All-American. He shot 72% from the free throw line his senior year in high school.
Wow. So this may be first year jitters.
Well, there's definitely something psychological going on. Ironically, the Kansas game, again, it's the toughest atmosphere that this team will face the entire year. He stepped up, he hit his first four free throws, nothing but the bottom of the net. So that was coming off a game where he only missed one free throw. So we thought, wow, he's turned the corner. Well, then he went on to miss, I think, six out of his next seven at Kansas. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely struggling, and I promise you that they're working on it daily.
Well, that was a lot of pressure.
But he is our best, let me tell you, he's our best perimeter defender. He's our best rebounding guard, and he is our best driver of the basketball. So he's a critical component to what Calipari wants to achieve. The free throws are definitely an Achilles heel for this young man.
Yeah. Well, good. I was just curious. He's obviously super-duper athletic. I enjoyed watching him move, that's for sure. I just was a little concerned about him converting. But anyway, glad to talk to you guys. It's good to be back. You guys are doing a great job. So
hope to hear from you next week again, Geraldine.
All right, I'll call in.
Geraldine,
have a good week.
All right, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. We're getting ready to head to break in about 15. Listen, our phone lines are open, folks. Give us a call at 812-426 or
tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. Go Hoosiers.
Go Big Blue.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, basketball listeners, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on your 88.3 WNIN live streaming. We have Jim Gotze running the Twitter account at Red Blue Hoops, or give us a call. I was told that I shortstopped the phone number before the break. My apologies. The phone number is 812-426-7400. Thank you, Aaron. Sorry for that fumble. But a couple of the comments, some anecdotal stats. I've nicknamed Kentucky lately Fouling University. We have become the most fouling team I've seen in a long time at UK. And that led to us being outscored on the road at Kansas and Tennessee by a total of 29 points. And that's hard to overcome, but especially hard to overcome on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, think about this for a second. I like looking at trends. So right now we've had six losses. Is that correct? Yep, six losses. And Calipari looks like he has a trend at UK. This is his seventh team. And he either has extremely low loss counts or nine or above. Like his first year, three losses. And then year two, nine losses. Year three, two losses. Year four, 12. Year five, 11. Last year, one. So I thought this year I predicted that we would have somewhere like five or seven. We're at six now. I think we'll have more, obviously, going down the rest of the season. And now the one thing I will say, His 2011 team had 9 losses. They made the Final Four. His 2014 team, 11 losses, made it to the national title game. So, again, we've had some disappointing road losses, but it's still early February. He has a chance to still do something special the rest of the season. It is there. Don't know what's going to happen.
Or it
but
could be another Robert Morris year.
I don't think it is.
It could be another Robert Morris. I mean, I know you guys don't like to talk about that year.
I do.
A lot of UK fans, they want to act like that never happened. But you guys did lose in the first round of the NIT tournament to Robert Morris.
I don't avoid it at all. I'm a man that takes responsibility for his actions. And I love my team through thick and thin.
Same here.
And there's no fan that can divert me otherwise. But that NIT team, you got to remember, we were doing okay and improving tremendously up until Nerlens blew his knee at Florida. And after that, the team fell apart. So we are a Tyler Ulis injury away from being an NIT team. I mean, that's the fact of the deal. You guys this year have been able to absorb the Blackman injury. You guys
because we're deeper.
Playing better without
we've
him.
We've got a lot of upperclassmen as
but
well.
I think losing Nerlens was a backbreaker for UK in 13. Losing Yogi would be a backbreaker for you guys this year, or Ulis for us this year.
Well, last year we lost Colin Hartman and Honor. People forget about that. We lost both of them during the season. And Dane Dockage during the Michigan game said that Mick Cronin, the coach at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yep.
Actually texted him the other day and said, hey, do you know any other kids in Indiana that play basketball?
I saw Colin Hartman. Yeah, he was one.
And I'm going to tell you what, Colin Hartman is a very, very underrated player for us. He is so unselfish.
He's a glue
guy. He does
guy.
All the right things and makes a lot of decisions. I am kind of ticked off about how much I feel like the Big Ten officials kind of target him or whatever foul wise. I mean, it just seems like he's always getting kind of knick-knack fouls on him. But he's a great kid, and he is the epitome, in my opinion, of what IU basketball used to be, and it's becoming again. Want to give a quick stat. Since losing at Duke in early December, Indiana has won 14 of its last 15 games, and the margin of victory during those wins is 18.7 points.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, that's good.
Almost 20 points. And we're leading the Big Ten currently in the Big Ten season with an average margin of victory of 16.5.
Yeah. Some of Kyle Perry's best teams are up there. Like, looking back, that's a great number to have.
Yeah,
no
I mean,
question.
And we've jumped. Basically, we traded places with you guys on KenPom.
Sure did.
We went from 25 to 20, and you guys went from 20 to 25. So.
Speaking of that, that's a great segue to introduce a burger. We have a trademark situation getting ready to happen, okay?
You got to listen up.
So this is the first time we're going to roll out the new RBH Index. It's a new ranking system right here on Red Blue Hoops, WNIN, 426-7400. And the RBH Index is a combination of the 4 mathematical statistical ranking systems that we follow here. KenPom, the BPI, the RPI, and the Sagarin. We take those 4, add them together, divide by 4, and it equals the RBH index. This week, Indiana has climbed to 18. Kentucky has dropped to 24.5.
Oh, come on, that's 25.
That's exactly right. I knew you'd say something like that. So, again, folks at home, listeners, or wherever you are, the RBH index is something you're going to want to pay close attention to the rest of the season. We're going to see how it pans out in relationship to where the teams get seated and bracketology, yada, yada, yada. And then to add to that, we're talking about Kentucky's recent defensive woes, Aaron. Kentucky's offense right now in KenPom's ranked 24th. Indiana's ranked 18th. Indiana's defense is 47th, but here's the problem. I think I mentioned earlier, Kentucky's ranked 52nd defensively. That's just not a Cal Perry team. And another outlier, I did not realize this, but at UK, under Calipari, 10-point lead or greater, do you know what his record is at UK? Or did I tell you
already? Has he ever lost?
He has. He's 178-3 after getting a 10-point lead or greater.
You told me that earlier, yeah.
And his 2 of the 3 losses are this year, at Auburn and at Tennessee, ironically. We led by 12 at Auburn and lost, led by 21. His other loss on that record, his NIT team, Alabama, 2013. So Interesting little stat there for to dig your teeth into.
I want
to
give you a little bit of a interesting stat. So,
all right.
The last time, well, not the last time, in 81, we won the national championship, right?
You did.
And,
Isaiah Thomas.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I want to give you his stats for that season, his averages.
All right.
16 points per game, 5.8 assists a game, 3.1 rebounds, and 35 minutes played. Yogi Ferrell this year, 17.4 points, 5.8 assists, exactly like Isaiah, 4.2 rebounds, and he's playing almost a minute less than Isaiah averaged. And I'm just throwing this out there, Hoosier fans, but this could be a Final Four year. Everybody wants to, you know, put us out. At the beginning of the season, you know, we've lost four games. Three of those games were by 4 points or less. Three of our four losses. The other one was in Krzyzewskiville.
Yeah.
I mean, Cameron. You want to talk about the call center. I mean, that is the Cameron. Cameron is the worst place to play, especially if you're an out-of-conference team. I think they have the longest record ever, or winning streak ever, out-of-conference opponents. So,
oh, I don't. Yeah.
I mean, and we were right there with them the first half of that game. But anyway, just wanted to give everybody that Isaiah versus Yogi comparison.
The only difference is Isaiah did not have the advantage of the three-point line, and Yogi kills it from there.
That's right. That's
true. We do have a tweet that intern Gotze passed over. I don't know about this pronunciation of the last name, but Derek, is that Court? I don't know. But his comment, I think, is for you, Aaron.
Okay.
It says, quote, ready for the back nine of the IU schedule. I feel the gradual buildup has been a benefit for experience and development, end quote. This guy must be a golfer, using the terminology back nine.
Yeah.
Anybody know this guy?
Well,
no?
I think there's 18 games in the Big Ten schedule now.
Oh, there you go. So, maybe it's basketball and golf combined, though.
Maybe.
Well, thanks for the tweet there, Derek. We appreciate that. And for our Twitter handlers out there, give us a tweet at Red Blue Hoops.
Thanks, Derek.
And phone lines are open. Give us a call, 812-426-7400. All right. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that. So tell us about, give us a rundown of where the Big Ten Conference stands right now.
Well, I wasn't ready for that one.
Uh-oh, sorry.
The Big Ten Conference is, I would say, this year, I mean, I think that people want to immediately say the Big Ten Conference isn't as good as it has been. However, I don't believe that. I still think we're going to get at least five teams to six teams into the tournament pretty easily. If you look at the RPI scores of the top five, six teams in the conference, it's right there where it normally is. I think we've got three to four teams that could make a Final Four run, and that being Michigan State, Maryland, IU, and Purdue. I'm going to give Purdue
Iowa,
props.
Michigan State, Purdue, Indiana, and Maryland?
No, just four.
Oh.
Indiana, Purdue, Maryland, Michigan State.
No Iowa?
Oh, no, excuse me. Five, that's right. Okay. Iowa. I meant Iowa.
They jumped to number one on KenPom right now.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be – I really am worried about this Penn State game we've got coming up. We're playing Penn State at Penn State. That's an upcoming game, and then we play Iowa at home. And I'm worried, much like you last week, we're worried about Tennessee, I believe.
Right.
Because you said,
yeah,
you know, the KU game. I'm worried a lot about this Penn State game, that they're going to look at this game and think, we don't need to pay attention. We're going to kill them. And then they're going to come in and lay an egg.
I don't see it happening for you guys. I think you're playing better than that right now. But – you know, Iowa, there's a correlation here in the last – this is going off memory. Four of the last six, I think, national title teams have been ranked in the top 20 both offensively and defensively. Iowa right now is ranked sixth offensively in the nation and 12th defensively. So, something to think about.
And IU is moving on up defensively.
They are, yeah.
And we are definitely ranked in the top 10 offensively. I believe we're like fourth.
No, you're 18th offensively right now, KenPom. I looked at today.
I know we are ranked first, I believe, in the Big Ten right now.
Probably so.
First or second, right by.
Well, that wouldn't make sense because I was ranked sixth offensively, KenPom. You guys are ranked 18th.
But
let's go back. You can check me there. I may be wrong, but let's go to the SEC. We haven't reviewed conference standings on the show here recently, but Texas A&M is currently in the lead at 7-1 in the conference. I think they're still ranked in the top 10 nationally. followed by LSU, led by Ben Simmons. I mean, everyone should know him by now. He's on every ESPN commercial you can see.
Unbelievable.
They're 7-2. Then you have a tie amongst three teams. You have South Carolina, Kentucky, and Kentucky's next opponent this Saturday, the Florida Gators. Those three teams are all 6-3. So Kentucky still has a chance, but they're going to have to take care of business on the road better than they have so far this year. But reflecting upon history, I mentioned earlier the 2011 team, Calipari's second at UK. I remember Kentucky fans freaking out because we lost 6 out of 8 conference road games that year. That's before the conference expanded, so we only played 8 road games. There's more now. But, again, we lost 6 out of 8 and went to the Final Four, so all is not lost yet. We just have to keep improving and see where we go from there. But so anyway, SEC right now, A&M's looking strong, and LSU has definitely improved. So this past weekend was the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
How much do you guys beat them pretty badly?
Who?
Did the SEC win that?
No, okay. We were 3-7. LSU lost a nail-biter to Oklahoma.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then Kentucky lost overtime at Kansas. So that was a fraction from being 500. But I want to make a comment that Dana O'Neill, one of the quote-unquote top basketball writers for ESPN, she predicted a sweep by the Big 12. So
I will say this. She is an IU grad. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
She's an IU grad. That's probably why.
You know what? I never really respected her that much, but after hearing that, I may not ever click an article.
Well, the Ernie Pyle School of Journalism is one of the best in the country. Period.
Ah. Maybe we should check into that. We get better. Do they have a radio division?
I'm not sure. I'm being honest with you. I know they're one of the best in the country. They have been for a lot of years.
Let's go back behind the glass. Samantha, come on the air here real quick.
Hello?
If we want to hone our radio skills, where would you suggest that we look to get some education here?
You can just talk with us.
Leadership here at the station. Good idea.
That's a great
idea. Thank you, Samantha. Appreciate that. Hey, guys, phone lines are open.
That's right. And I want to give some props out to the Real Assembly Hall. It's his moniker or screen name on InsideTheHall.com forum. He's the one that tweeted in earlier. I'm not sure what his name was, but he just told me he had sent in a tweet. So,
oh, really?
I'm sure that was the tweet.
Gotcha. We got to do some research here.
I think we just got one from him. He's ready for the back nine. I think that was him. So,
oh,
what's that?
Josh Wolski. That's a former intern here.
Oh, okay. All
hey.
Right.
Phone numbers, folks, again,
812-426-7400, or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops, folks.
Tell you what, little chance to chip in and check in bracketology. And this is something we're going to try to do weekly for our listeners out here. This is as of February the 1st by Joe Lenardi, which is published by ESPN. And this week's bracketology had Kentucky dropping from a 4 seed down to a 5, still in the Midwest bracket. They had Indiana neutral staying at a 6, but shifting to the Midwest bracket with Kentucky. So right now, I mean, I'm still having a down arrow on Kentucky since losing to Tennessee. And after you all dominating Michigan, I would say that's got to be an up arrow. So
we're moving up so fast, they can't really quantify it. They don't know exactly where we're going to be, but they think it's going to be 2-3 seed right now.
You know, it's interesting. Back to that tweet we got here from Derek about the back nine. You know, last week, Aaron, we touched on a little bit. It's going to be interesting. You guys are vastly improved. There's no question about that. But we have to focus on the fact that IU has not played a ranked Big Ten team yet on their schedule. Their first one, I think, is slated for February the 11th, based on my research.
That's
so,
Iowa, yeah.
That is Iowa.
At Indiana.
Okay, so you guys have, I think, a great opportunity. If you finish the season strong, you could get a 3 or higher seed.
It's always if, you know. I mean, I understand that, you know, we have not been as consistent as we'd like to have been the last few years. We've also lost 3 lottery picks to the NBA. People sometimes forget that. We lost 4 1,000-point scorers after the 2012-2013 season, and people forget that. You know, we this year, I think we finally have a good mix again of senior leadership, and we've got a lot of young guys coming in and playing above what they are predicted to play. So being instant contributors to the team, like OG Anunoby and Juwan Morgan, both been playing fantastic defense. They're both 6 foot eight. 6 foot eight, both can shoot, both move their feet. I think they're both averaging like a block or two a game.
That's
a block,
that helps.
And they're all coming off the bench.
Rim protectors.
Yeah.
Good points. Well, hey, folks, we're going to our second and last break of the night. Phone lines remain open. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
Welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. This is show number 5 of season 2 here on WNIN 88.3. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Give you a little bit of a backstory, Aaron. I was listening to an interview of Jay Williams of ESPN. You know, he was a great player at Duke.
Yeah, he was blocked by Dane Fife in the game against Dane.
Oh,
Fife.
That's right. But
that was not a foul. I just want to point that out for everybody.
He recently had a book come out, the title, Life is Not an Accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these books written by athletes aren't the best reads in the world, but I hear this one is pretty darn good.
I've actually heard the same thing.
I just want to touch on last week, Tubby Smith was brought up, and I have a pretty strong line opinion about Tubby being a great guy, but not the CEO for a program like Kentucky. And this is another story coming from a player. So it's not hearsay. It's not something that's been dreamed up on a message board. But Jay Williams wanted to go to Kentucky. And he told the story during this interview about how the recruiting process was coming down to the final stages. It was Kentucky or Duke. And they were on the phone. It was Jay's dad and Jay. This is back in the old days when, like, one guy was on the other side of the house on a phone and the dad was on the other phone, both on the phone at the same time. And they were doing an interview with Tubby on the phone. And Jay's father, I think, worked for American Express, intelligent guy, was asking Tubby a lot of really good questions. Well, the conversation was going extremely well. And Jay talked about how he started getting this swell of excitement thinking, I'm going to get to go to play at Kentucky. He was real excited until all of a sudden his father said, hey, Tubby, I got one more question I forgot to ask you. What is the graduation rate of your players at UK? And Jay says there was a pause on the phone. And Tubby said, Mr. Williams, I'm not exactly sure, and so I don't make a mistake. Let me get that number, and I'll get it back to you. And that's when the decision was made that night for Jay to go to Duke. So it's another massive, massive fumble by Tubby Smith and his recruiting stories over the years of losing Kevin Durant, Brandon Knight, Jay Williams. And this is, again, this is not coming hearsay. This is coming from the player's perspective. Now, let me ask you this. How different would have Tubby's career been if Jay went to UK? He may still be coaching there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, just like if Jared Jeffries wouldn't have left IU, Mike Davis could be still at IU.
That could be true. It's interesting. But hey, we have a phone call. We have Gary from Evansville. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a couple comments about both teams. For one thing, Kentucky's stinking up the floor right now the way they're playing.
Thanks, Gary.
Anytime you lead by 21 points and then you end up getting beat, something's wrong. They need to get that killer instinct, which I've not seen. I'm not any favorite. I like good basketball, period. But if you don't get that killer instinct, you're not going to win too many games. And they just cannot get that killer instinct and just put the pedal to the metal and blow them away. Indiana, on the other hand, is doing that. Indiana is playing about as good as I've seen them playing, I guess, in the last several years. But they still got a long ways to go because, like one of you said a while ago, they have not played a ranked Big Ten team yet until they play Iowa. And I think they can beat Iowa, but they better be on guard.
Yeah, at home, I think there's no doubt we can beat just about anybody. I mean, we proved that back in 2011, 2012, whenever UK came to town.
You helped us win a national title by beating us that night. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I will say that, yeah, I would agree.
That's the biggest assist from Indiana fan I've ever had.
Yeah, I think that
we hung a banner.
Yeah, yeah, I think that we did. I think you guys were like, man, we got beat that night.
Hey, Gary, do you have any other comments or questions for us tonight on Red Blue Hoops?
Well, I just wanted to simply say that, you know, I think they'll both make it in the Big Dance, but they got ways to, you know, there's always room for improvement, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And,
I agree 100%.
And
you're
that
exactly
goes
right.
With, yeah, I know you guys don't have them on your show, but I also like the Evansville Aces and the Lillies.
We do have them on the show, actually, Gary. We'll be talking a little bit about the Aces at the end of the show here today, and we do that each Thursday, so definitely tune in on, and so you can hear that. We appreciate you calling in, though, very, very much, Gary. Thank you very much for calling in, and we will be talking Aces basketball here in just a few minutes.
That's great. Yeah, we very much appreciate the phone calls. Our number is 812-426-7400. We have another caller on the Red Blue Hoops hotline, Alan from Birdseye. Alan, go ahead.
Okay.
Alan?
Are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Alan. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. This is for Evan. Can you tell me who is very last in the Big Ten as far as the worst turnover percentage?
As a player or as a team?
As the team.
Wow. The worst team in turnover percentage in the Big Ten.
Actually, I shouldn't say percentage. I'll say in turnovers per game.
Okay. I have to admit, I do not know that stat off the top of my head. I do remember earlier this season that Troy Williams led all Power 5 conference teams with turnovers. So I'm going to ask, is it Indiana?
It is.
Wow.
I don't think that's right. I mean, I could be – I'm going to look it up here.
Well, I'm never going to question – I don't question Alan.
If you want to doubt that, all you have to do is go to the Bleacher Report, bring up their Indiana as your team, go down through there and look at the negatives for each ranked team in the top 25.
Okay.
Oh, that's
now,
good.
The positive that they have is
turnover margin.
The last two games, they have their margin down to 12 against Minnesota and 12 against Michigan. So that's the upside.
So you're saying there's a lot of room for improvement, basically. I mean, we could easily be a
as
Final Four team.
As far as turnovers go, that is the biggest thing that scares me for the rest of the season.
Yeah, our assist, I'm on Big10.org. I just went there real quick. Our assist to turnover ratio is, we're currently eighth. And then our turnover margin, we're ranked ninth right now. So you are right. We've always had some turnover problems with Crean. We play fast with him. So
I watch every game. I'm a diehard Hoosier fan myself.
Well, good. Thank
but,
you very
I mean,
much
all
for doing
I'm
that.
Saying is that right there is what worries me the most for the rest of the season. Plus the fact, like the guy that sent in the tweet said, this back nine coming up, you know, we have the cream of the crop in the Big Ten to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, there's no doubt.
Know,
playing at Wisconsin.
A harder road to hoe.
Yeah, I'd say playing at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's now won 5 games in a row, I believe. They are really rapidly becoming a very, very good team. And I'd say when we played at Wisconsin, that was a very good barometer of where we can be and where we should be. We should have won that game. I think if we'd have played it on a neutral court, we would have easily won it. Like I said last week,
I will say this. When it comes to playing at Wisconsin, and I know you like to call it the call center, but, you know, to me, that's sort of making excuses for your team. I'm a diehard IU fan, and I don't believe that way. I think no matter where you're at, the home team is probably going to have a slight advantage. But we just always have played poorly in Madison as well as when we go to Minnesota.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Minnesota.
Optimum, yep. No matter what team we have. And I will revert back to one thing as far as poor performances, and this goes back several years, and we'll see if you remember this one. But in regards to playing at Minnesota in the barn, 1 minute to go, we're up by 7 points. We lose the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
No, I remember every game. I do remember that game, and I will say this. I don't remember every single game, but yes,
I've ever sat through in my life.
You know, it's frustrating when you lose a game. IU fans have been desperate for some success for about 20 years. That started in about 1994, whenever Bobby Knight decided he didn't want to recruit anymore. So we've been desperate for a long, long time. To have some success, and that's not the current leader of the program's fault. I mean, in 4 years' time, he took over a program, lost four scholarships, and won a Big Ten championship, and now he's got us top 15 in the country again, I believe, at the end of this week, and I think we have a good shot at winning the Big Ten again and making a Final Four this year. So I hope you'll join me in supporting the Hoosiers, and thank you again for calling in.
Alan, thank you
again. No problem.
Thank you very much. And we're going back to the phone lines. They're heating up. We have Kwong and Madison. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on Red Blue Hoops.
Are you Bobby Kwong?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello. You there?
Yeah, are you there?
I'm getting some beeping.
Oh, you're okay, good. Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you there?
All right. Yeah. I was wondering why you think Yogi doesn't get enough national attention as one of the best point guards in the country.
That's a great question, Kwong, and I am glad you called in. One of my fellow Inside the Hall forum buddies, and that's a great question. I think that Yogi, because he hadn't played great defense, honestly, for the first 3 years, he really hasn't bought into playing defense. And this year, I mean, he is probably, if not our best defender, definitely one of our best defenders. And I think that there has been nationally a little bit of a turning up the nose at Yogi because he hasn't been the leader of the team like we had all expected him to be. But I think he's doing that this year, especially this last, 14 games. He's really come along a long way, and he's hitting big shots and clutch shots, and definitely appreciate you calling in, but I think that he is definitely one of, if not the best point guard in the country. And
I like watching him play.
Yeah,
I always have.
He's fantastic.
He's tough, man. Hey, thank you for the call very much. Again, Red Blue Hoops, 812-426-7400. I think we have another caller. This is a guy that called in 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is the ghost of Adolph Rupp.
Hey, boys. How y'all doing up there in Southern Indiana?
We're doing great, Ghost. Welcome back to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, I tell you what, I've been missing hearing y'all's talk show. I've been kicking around the Southeast just to kind of revisit what I was talking about last time I called in. You know, I said Kentucky is going to play 18 conference games, 9 of them at home in Rupp Arena, and 9 of them on the road. And I said they're probably going to lose 5 on the road, and it's looking like that may happen. They got to go down to Texas A&M. They're playing well. It's going to be a tough win for Kentucky, possible loss. And then, of course, they got to go down to South Carolina. Back to that Tennessee game, I never did like playing down in Knoxville. Those people are pretty hostile toward Kentucky and Kentucky fans. I will say one thing. I was hoping John Calipari, who I think is a very, very fine coach, actually has a higher winning percentage than I did. I was hoping he might change his defense up a little bit once we lost that 21-point lead. I was hoping we might see a little a 3-2-point drop zone like I played back in the 40s and 50s. Just want to call and see what your boys, what y'all thought about that. I'll just hang up and listen.
That's awesome. The ghost of Adolph Rupp. I mean, you talk about a radio show getting some big-time callers.
We got them from everywhere. Madison, Indiana, all over the place.
I was wondering which Madison.
Madison, Indiana,
calling in. You know, in the year, last year we've had Denver and we've had Atlanta and New York or whatever, but the ghost of Adolph Rupp, this is an ongoing debate amongst Kentucky fans about Cal won't play zone. He tried it last year a little bit. He is a man-to-man guy. People sometimes say he's a little too stubborn. Now, again, he has shown the ability to adapt, but he's a man-to-man guy. And right now, I mentioned earlier, Jamal Murray's having some breakdowns defensively. So they're getting penetration into our bigs, or bigs are getting in foul trouble. So you would think maybe he's talking about this 3.32 point drop zone that Tubby went to back in 98 to win the title. It can be effective if you have the right personnel and the right discipline.
Yeah.
You got to be
disciplined.
And you
got to buy into it, right?
You have to.
I mean, and so that's where you do, I mean, a lot of Bob Knight supporters and loyalists will tell you that, you know, man-to-man is the only way to go. And I believe that, too. A lot of coaches like Cal and Knight and that have been successful will say man-to-man is the way to go. And that's because they go to the player that's the problem, and they'll say to him,
yeah,
you're the issue.
Yeah, that's right.
You're the reason why the man-to-man's breaking down, so you got to step it up. And so I do think that watching the Kentucky game the other night, though, a zone may be a good viable option for you guys.
All right. This show, once again, has flown by. I see I think Berger's back there doing the phone again. We may have another caller. No, we're good. Aaron, we've got about a minute 15 to go. Quickly talk about upcoming games. This Saturday, Kentucky's hosting Florida. 3 o'clock Central on CBS, and then next Tuesday, Kentucky hosts Georgia on ESPN 8 o'clock. Who do you have coming up?
We've got Penn State on the 6th at 7 p.m., and on the 11th, we have Iowa at home. So, that's this Saturday we got Penn State, and I believe it's next Thursday. Next Thursday.
So you have Penn State and Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And
before next week's show?
Next Thursday, actually, we're playing Iowa.
What time?
At 8 p.m.
Oh.
Right after the show.
So we come to your house?
Well, I was thinking maybe we'd go down to my uncle's spot, the peephole.
Oh, well, it's close.
My uncle Steve Alsop, he owns the peephole.
We're getting the stink eye back behind the glass there.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Hey, folks, once again, great show here. We really appreciate the listeners. We appreciate the support by phone and Twitter. And I want to say thank you to my buddy Jim Godsey. This is his fourth week for stepping in for Walker. Hopefully, Walker get back on the saddle next week, but Jim's done a great job. Aaron, excellent show tonight.
Thank you, Evan. I saw your Walker got his license, so maybe
he got his permit.
Permit, so he can drive you next
time.
That's right.
Hey, next week, folks, same time, same channel. Red, Blue Hoops, go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel, with producer Steve Berger, technical director Samantha Horton, and Walker Beck handling social media. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN, its board of directors, or staff. Or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, Notre Dame fans, Louisville fans, USI fans, and certainly not Duke fans.